While he was staying in the city of Ephesus in Asia Minor, Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers. As he was in Ephesus for nearly 3 years, he was anxious to keep in touch with the church in Corinth, which he had founded some years before during his second missionary journey. Before Paul arrived in Ephesus, a believing Jew named Apollos, who had been instructed in the Christian faith by Aquila and Priscilla, went to Corinth to encourage the believers there. His ministry was much appreciated, as he was an eloquent man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. When he returned to Ephesus, Apollos informed Paul of the situation in that church. What he told the apostle was not very encouraging. Divisions, disagreements, and other problems had arisen. So Paul wrote them a letter. Then more information was brought to him from the people of the household of Chloe. She was a wealthy believer living in Corinth, whose servants were passing through Asia Minor. Finally, three men, Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, sent by the church in Corinth, came to Paul in Ephesus bringing a letter, it seems, with them. As there were many problems and questions among believers, Paul wrote them an answer. This is the letter which is known as the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. The apostle decided to send two of his faithful associates, Erastus and Timothy, to visit the churches in Macedonia. Then Timothy was to travel on to Corinth. But before he was due to arrive there, the letter that Paul had written would be sent by boat to the Corinthians so as to get there as soon as possible. From what he had heard, Paul was very concerned about the situation in the church. The Christians were divided into rival factions. The apostle's authority was questioned by men relying on human wisdom. Even worse, there were court cases, disorderly worship services, immorality, and erroneous teaching about some aspects of Christian doctrine. So Paul set out to put matters right and to answer the questions that were troubling the Corinthians. In spite of the wide range of subjects that are dealt with in this letter, the apostle never loses sight of the fact that Christ must be central and preeminent in the life of the individual believer as well as in the church. It is Christ who unites believers to God and to others. Paul vigorously condemns the party spirit which was prevalent in the Corinthian church and exhorts the members to remain united in Christ, reminding them that he, Paul, had always encouraged unity among believers. "I have been informed," he says, "that there are quarrels among you. One says, 'I follow Paul,' another, 'I follow Apollos,' another, 'I follow Cephas,' and still another, 'I follow Christ.' Is Christ divided?" he asks. "Was Paul crucified for you? I appeal to you that all of you may agree and be united in mind and thought." The apostle also rebukes the way some members of the church were promoting human philosophies, the art of eloquence and skillful debate, and what was considered superior wisdom. He reminds believers that the wisdom of God is not the wisdom of the world. The message of the cross, he says, is foolishness to unbelievers, but to those who are saved it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Paul reminds the Corinthians that when they were called, not many of them were great intellectuals or men of authority or of noble birth. For God, he says, chose the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. He chose the weak, the lowly, and despised things to bring to nothing the things that are high and mighty, so that no one may boast in his presence. And so we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who believe, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ Jesus has become for us righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Paul then goes on to speak of God's mysterious hidden wisdom, his purpose concerning things that no man ever saw or heard or could even imagine, but that God has revealed by his Spirit. "He who has received the Spirit of God can understand these truths," says Paul, "but for the man without the Spirit they are foolishness, because they are spiritually discerned. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit sent by God, so that we may know what God has freely given us. We have the mind of Christ." Next episode, 1 Corinthians continued, God's servants in the Lord's work.